The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. All you need to know. It's Brady and Lang in the morning. The best sports for Toronto. Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Kessler at five. Loose puck. Gabriel scores. Kessler's in on another one. And Daniel Sedin has his first goal of this series. 2-0 Vancouver.
I said, in that case, I'll have a rum and Coca-Cola. She said, fine. And in 30 seconds' time, she said, I want to live like common people. I want to do whatever common people do.
See,
I want to sleep.
Cool. William Shatner.
This is cool.
Yeah, are you asking or telling?
I mean, there's points where he is cool and points where he's not. When he's Captain Kirk and Wrath of Khan, he's as cool as you get.
That was 29 years ago.
Still cool.
Brady and Lang.
Still holds up.
Yeah, I know, but he's been, I think he's gained in hipness even since then. Brady and Lang, Sportsnet Radio, Fan 590. Shatner's the coolest 80-year-old in Canada.
Yes, I'll grant you that.
Thanks a lot. Vancouver dumps Nashville last night by a count of 2-1. They'll wait it out as Boston and Tampa are doing for either San Jose or Detroit to win. By the bye, Boston and Tampa may start Thursday night, so you may only have one more dark night of hockey if San Jose beats Detroit tonight down the 4-0-1 at Joe Louis Arena.
Which is not good news for the Bruins because Patrice Bergeron scheduled to see a neurologist on Thursday. So doubtful we'll see him for at least the first two games of the series or maybe not even in the Eastern Conference at all.
Yeah. So, but there's not much to say about the game, really. Kessler was brilliant. He'll try and continue his brilliance next round. Luongo's save percentage better than Rene's in the series. And it's become kind of laughable to me. I think we found some middle ground, you and I, on Luongo, and maybe he's good enough to take a team somewhere, but just don't ask him. He's not become the kind of goalie that anybody thought he would 7-8 years ago when we're talking about him in Florida. And if anybody gets him out of Florida, they'll win multiple Stanley Cups, and eventually Vancouver was the team that did it.
There was, I think, a misguided belief that once Luongo arrived in Vancouver, every year would be a Halak-type run in the postseason.
Bingo.
Right?
Like you nailed it. Yeah.
He would be this magical goalie who would elevate the team to these amazing levels. He's a great goalie. He's capable of greatness, but he can't be that every game. He needs a supporting cast, and that's a big reason why the Canucks are in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah.
Their supporting cast around him is outstanding.
And look, great goalies miss the playoffs every year. It's an absolute misnomer to suggest, hey, if you're great, get in the playoffs, because Cam Ward missed this year, and Ryan Miller missed a couple years ago, and that's going to happen. More NHL teams than NFL teams make the playoffs. It's tough in the NFL to find... You want me to find you quarterbacks like Philip Rivers and, to a lesser extent, Eli Manning, although I don't call Eli Manning a great quarterback.
But he's a very good quarterback.
Sam Bradford's going to be a great quarterback, and he missed the playoffs in his rookie season. So we always link goalie with quarterback. It's a lot easier for a goalie to be a very good to great goalie and miss the playoffs, because you just have – it's a long season. It's 82 games, and you have to have so many good things happen around you. The hockey story late yesterday afternoon that caught everybody's attention – is that of a, I suppose it's Sean Avery's pro-gay marriage opinion versus Todd Reynolds, vice president of Uptown Sports Management's opinion, which is the exact opposite. Sean Avery was in a video endorsement. We played it earlier in the morning. We may play it again. Of legalized same-sex marriage in New York State, the Human Rights Campaign claims the Rangers are the first professional sports team to actively promote marriage equality. Todd Reynolds sent a tweet out via Uptown Hockey. Very sad to read Sean Avery's misguided support of same-gender marriage. Legal or not, it will always be wrong. To clarify, this is not hatred or bigotry towards gays. It is not intolerance in any way, shape, or form. I believe we are all equal, but I believe in the sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. This is my personal viewpoint. I do not hate anyone. Awfully, obviously defensive, obviously backpedaling, and as a lot of people noted yesterday, when you're on the wrong side of an issue... Now, this is jokingly. When you're on the wrong side of an issue with Sean Avery... Boy, are you on the wrong side of an issue. But having said that, Avery gets out there, and Avery does things that the average hockey player and the average hockey fan might think leaves him questionable. Yet this guy has been with more beautiful women than many NHL rosters combined. So let's not question his masculinity because he likes clothes and he wants to go intern at Vogue and he believes that anybody on the face of the earth should be able to marry each other, man, 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 woman, 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 either way. And the issue that we dealt with earlier, and we got a lot of reaction to it, is whether if you're an NHL player, certainly you don't appreciate this. I can't imagine you would, even if you agreed wholeheartedly, but do you sever business ties over something like this? And it's a difficult road to go down. I know what I would do, but I can't tell a Mike Fisher or Carlo Koliakovo or Jonathan Bernier what they should, Dustin Jeffrey, what they should do in this particular case.
I want to give some credit to Sean Fitzgerald of the National Post because he caught up with Don Reynolds yesterday, and Reynolds had told Fitzgerald that, quote, the majority, I think, of Canadians would say they don't agree with gay marriage. Now, I think Mr. Reynolds has really misread the Canadian public. I think Canadians, the majority, don't care. I think most Canadians are of their belief, if two consenting adults want to live their life, then c'est la vie, live your life. If it does, they're paying their taxes, they pay their marriage fees, they can do what they want. I mean, people come from all over the world to get married in Canada, gay couples, because you can. I mean, isn't that something we should be proud of as Canadians?
Yes. I see. I agree and disagree with you to some extent. It's a ludicrous statement. And I agree with you that the numbers would be completely skewed if we had some kind of a national referendum on it. Now, having said that, you could get what you had in California with Prop 8. And that's a real campaign of disinformation where you walk around, you say in second grade, if you vote no on Prop 8, they will teach kids. They will encourage kids of the same sex to get married, and not really. They'll preach tolerance. Look, I'm not at that stage with my kids yet where the scare tactics that some political parties and some political ideologies use, like, hey, in second grade, if this happens, your kid will be putting a condom on a banana in second grade. And I'm thinking, they'll laugh. I mean, all my kid's favorite word right now is toilet. So he'll find it funny if he has to put a prophylactic device on a banana. But here, I don't want to give. We had the opportunity to have Todd Reynolds on this show. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give a voice. I'm not going to debate a dude on whether this is right or not. The issue is more, it's great that other people want to give him the platform, man. Fill your boots. But to me, it's hatred and intolerance. Remember who David Duke was?
Oh, of course. Right? He was a former KKK member who tried to run for governor of Louisiana.
Gubernatorial candidate in Louisiana in the late 80s.
He was a grand dragon in the KKK.
He was a grand, well, what's it, dragon or wizard? Which is better? I never know what happens when those two get together.
It's
in
bad
the
news.
KKK, throw out the record books. I mean, when the dragons and the wizards meet, and it's a home and home series. But so Duke runs for governor in 88, or he runs at least in the primary. And he wouldn't turn a radio show down or turn a newspaper interview down. I always thought even then, why are we giving a platform to people who are bigots? Why do we do it? I can't change this guy's mind. He ain't changing my mind. So I don't want to have him on a radio show. So we didn't this morning.
And he certainly doesn't. I'm sorry. He does not speak for his clients. You can't tell me all his clients agree with what he said.
But I bet you some of them do.
Maybe they do. But I mean, it's a wrong platform. And since he's not attaching names, his clients' names to his name on his Twitter feed.
Get your own Twitter account.
Yeah, get your
right?
with your name on it.
And that was the point I made earlier. Like an NFL owner. And look, a lot of these guys, some of these guys donate huge amounts of money to different political parties, Democrat and Republican. 416-870-0590, by the way, or star 590 if you are interested in joining the conversation. Brady and Lang at fan590.com. But don't go and speak. Look, I'm sure here at Rogers, here at other companies, there are people of vast differences politically, vast differences in terms of how they view things socially. It's absolutely improper for a company to speak for all their employees in this case. And that's what the perception was coming out yesterday. If it's Todd Reynolds 69 on Twitter, go ahead. But if I'm Mike Fisher or I'm Carlo Koliakov or many of these players, I'm thinking I might agree with you or I totally disagree with you. You can't do this, though. You can't put that out. That's not what I pay you for.
And I will say this about my dealings with Mike Fisher. He's one of the most genuinely nice people you'll ever meet in sports or in any walk of life. And no matter what he would believe, Mike Fisher's not the type of person who would say something to offend another person. It's not in his nature. He's a very competitive person. He plays hockey hard. He wants to win. He's physical. But he's not the kind of person that would spew verbal vitriol and bigotry and stuff and hatred. He's not like that. So, I mean, I can't for the life of me think that Mike Fisher would talk like this. That's not the way he's wired.
No, but he may agree, and I don't know that he doesn't. And the caller raised the point, and look, why do stereotypes exist? Because to me, there's always a small element of truth to them, and then people manipulate the element of truth and take it the wrong way and say, this group of individuals does this, or they feel this way. So I would assume that people who are born-again Christians, and I would assume that people who go to church all the time, have a less tolerant opinion of two men getting married than you or I might.
But that could be an improper assumption. There could be a lot of people who go to church on a regular basis or born again who believe in equality for all people, who maybe not necessarily believe in that.
So am I being unfairly stereotypical about people who attend church every week?
Yes, I think you are. I think people, the attitudes of people who attend church every week have changed dramatically in the last 25 years.
Your family has a military background.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same about gays in the military as you do about gays who get married?
If a gay man is willing to go through combat training and put his life on the line in Afghanistan for the country, I think as much of him as anyone else. Because I don't think I could do it.
No, I know. Yeah. It's polarizing. I can't. Look, everyone wants to destroy this guy. They want Todd Reynolds in this
Absolutely.
Case. I don't want him on the show. Everyone wants to, like, they're hoping his business falls apart. They're hoping all his clients flee in the next 24 to 36 hours. And the reality is they won't. And who are we to tell the one NHL player, a singular NHL player, again, if you don't do this, then you support his views.
And that's wrong.
That's almost as one-sided and biased as the original opinion from Todd Reynolds.
Exactly. Because
you don't know what's in this person's heart or mind. They've been unfairly spoken for by this guy, but they don't want to take it in that direction. They won't do it themselves.
Well, until I hear something from his clients one way or another, they're not going to give those clients the benefit of the doubt, as well. We all should.
Yeah, yeah. But having said that, they got every right to, I got every right not to do business with this guy. Here's what I say. I think it'll be harder for this guy to get new clients. Let's put it that way.
That I would agree with, 100%.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Now, more of Toronto's best sports with Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Obviously, he was in an extended inning at the time. I saw his velocity beginning to drop. And really, from the second, late in the second inning on, thought he had a hard time getting the ball down the strike zone.
Well, I didn't want to come out. I mean, I would have liked the chance to stay in and try and work my way out of it. I wasn't feeling fatigued. I think maybe that I started trying to make pitches to give myself a ground ball, kind of something along those lines where I didn't have my greatest stuff.
Brady and Lang, Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Alex Anthopoulos coming up in about 20 minutes' time. It's comments from the skipper, John Farrell, and Brandon Morrow, who was pulled rather unceremoniously in the fourth inning. And it reminded some, and I was at the game along with, like I said, about 9,800 of my good buddies, some of whom were cheering for the Tigers. And last night, it wasn't like when David Wells chucked the ball into the stands, but Morrow wouldn't look at Farrell, right? And then Farrell had his back turned, and Morrow just kind of looked back and was like waiting for a stare down, and then just few expletives, and he was out.
Of course, when he was questioned by reporters listening to the audio from Mike Wilner on the way in, he said, Morrow, that he was just looking back to the scoreboard to see his pitch count in the inning. That was his explanation for the little tete-a-tete between
Maybe
him and
so.
Farrell.
Maybe so, but he was some kind of pissed off. We asked you, 823-416-870-0590, star 590, by the way, or 888-666-0590. The most disappointing aspect, or the most disappointing player of the Jays season so far. At some point, Jim, as you know, with anything, a bad start becomes a bad season. And a good start becomes a good season. I don't know when we get, like, take the Cleveland Indians. When do we get to the point where they're not just, hey, what a cute little start for them to, oh, God, they're leading the AL Central by six games at the All-Star break.
Yeah, if you hit the All-Star break and they're still up there, then, yeah, you have to give them that they're legit, right? I mean, if you're April, May, June, you're into July, and you're still up there in the standings, you're leading your division, then that's a legitimate start to the season.
And I brought up to you earlier this morning, and it is really hard to discount, the Toronto Blue Jays could have the worst record in the American League at the end of the year. Minnesota and Chicago cannot continue to be this bad. And I'd love to say that about Toronto, but there isn't a veteran pitcher or two that you look at and say, there's a guy that can stop a slump. There's a guy that's been through the wars. There's even get ready, an A.J. Burnett. There's a Brad Penny on Detroit's roster. There isn't that guy right now. And the starting pitching was supposed to be a strength. It has not been a strength so far.
You know, I like the acquisition of Brett Laurie. He's toiling away in AAA Las Vegas. He's going to have a bright future. But losing Sean Markham from the staff, I think we're starting to feel the effects of it, Greg. Because I think Sean Markham, even though he wasn't that old, brought a bit of veteran swagger to the pitching rotation and the pitching staff. And I think he would speak to these guys and they would listen. Because right now, I don't know who speaks to who. They're all the same boat, same age, pretty much, give or take a few years, same level of experience. I don't think anyone in the starting rotation is in the position to question anyone else. Whereas a veteran pitcher who's been there, done that, can probably pull a guy aside
and talk to him. But that seemed to work last year. You remember how everybody said, okay, no Roy Halladay. So this will go wrong, and that will go wrong. And these players, look, I don't care what you say about Roy Halladay. He wasn't a leader. I'm not saying Roy was only about Roy, but Roy came, and he pitched his innings and started every five games and was borderline brilliant. The guy's got a gift and has done a lot to develop it. But these guys, these younger players, didn't mind that Roy was gone because Roy wasn't exactly – Roy can't put you on his back and help you win 15 games. Roy can't put you on his back and help you throw back-to-back complete games or back-to-back quality starts. And at times for Cecil, who led the team in wins, or Romero, who was probably the most consistent, or Morrow, who showed the most brilliance on a couple starts, Roy Halladay couldn't help those three players while he was here.
But I would hazard to say that because Halladay was gone, Sean Markham was out of his shadow and was able to step up and speak more and be more of a leader in the clubhouse to the pitching staff. I mean, it's great that Jose Bautista emerged as a great leader in the clubhouse, but being a pitcher is different. They speak a different language. They all huddle together in the dugout during the game. They speak to each other because they see the game differently than a positional player. And that's where... And I'm looking forward to see what Alex Anthopoulos, his take on it is coming up at 8:45, Greg. Does he think there's maybe a hole missing in the pitching staff, that there isn't that veteran guy to sit there and counsel guys? And it's not a matter of the guy's a 20-game winner.
It's not, Jim, the fact
that the guy's been around a long time and has seen things that he can impart on these pitchers. And it is different when it comes from a teammate and it comes from Bruce Walton, the pitching coach, or John Farrell, who was a longtime pitching coach, and now the manager.
Look, I'm coming back from the game last night. I hear Mike Wilner give a stat noting that not the pitchers, but the rotation of players, the positional players, have not all been healthy for even one inning this year at the exact same time. But they're still 15-20, and guys' numbers are your numbers. So when you're out there, you can do this more with this sport, for better or worse than you can any of the other sports, and look and say, this is what the guy does at the plate. This is what he does when there's runners in scoring position. And right now, this isn't just a slow start for players. This is getting to turn into, and it will, once you round the corner into 40, 50 games, it will round into a bad season for some of these players. Again, there's no logical reason why Edwin Encarnacion, to me, is on the team, but is batting cleanup in a game last night where you're trying to split the series against the Tigers.
And you're speaking about what's the most disappointing so far, and maybe it's the way the team is structured because there's not enough depth there that can withstand any kind of injuries. Because right now it's obvious if the Jays suffer through a stretch where there's injuries, it's so thin. They can't compete. They need everyone healthy to have a chance to win games. Whereas, I mean, in a 162-game regular season of baseball, people will get sick. They will get hurt. Pitchers will go on the DL. It happens. It happens to all the teams.
Yeah.
But you have to have enough bench strength and enough depth of the organization to withstand it. And right now, the Jays just don't have it.
Here's if you take away the obvious, okay, take Bautista's home runs to RBI. 10 home runs, 19 RBI. Last year is 54 for 124. If you take away the home runs, the RBI that are created only by home runs, Jose Bautista, I added this up last night, Jose Bautista had 58 RBI that weren't associated with home runs. This year, he's on pace for about 38. It's a lot of runs over the course of a small sample size of games, and that tells you that he's not being put in the position, unless he hits a freaking home run, to help cash in other players. With the average he's got, more guys should be on base ahead of him, and they aren't getting on. You've got a leadoff hitter in Rajay Davis, who's hitting under 200. You have Cooper, who is at the bottom of the order, who's hitting like, I think, 111.
Yeah, and here's an issue, too. Adam Lynn is leading the team by a wide margin in RBIs, and he's got some back spasms. I think he took an injection in the back to try to relieve the tension of the muscles.
He hasn't played the last two games.
And again, there's a guy that obviously has become more valuable to the team than we expected he would be, because without him in the lineup, it's a big hole. It's a really big hole, and it's a lot easier to pitch around Jose Bautista with no Lind.
And look, it's a bad run, and it's early, and they get the Astros at home later in the month. It's a series they should win. It's a series maybe you'd argue they should sweep. But with Boston here right now, they're still going to have Yankees later in the month. Chicago's going to come in here for four games. Again, the White Sox and Twins cannot stay this bad. 416-870-0590, star 590. Is this who the Jays are? 15-20, on pace for about 74, 75 wins. And if that's fine, then that's fine. But there have to be signs of progress as the season develops. Jonathan, you're on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Hi, yeah. I'm just saying that, you know what, I think we're fine. I think that they're going to be absolutely there.
What's fine? Well, okay, what's fine and what's there? I won't disagree with you, but give me some, like, are you win totals, competing?
Yeah, well, last year we hit the quarter pole, 40. We were, like, in first place, I believe, last year, uh-huh. Right? And I just say it's too early to be throwing out the parachute and saying that we have a lot of problems. I think that you guys spoke really well to the fact that we've been unlucky with some key injuries, and because we don't have the depth, we don't have that luxury of having key guys like that out. If we get some of those guys back, if we have Lind and Bautista and Hill hitting, all together in the same game, which has very rarely happened, I think that we've just been really unlucky, and I think we just got to stay the course here, and I think we'll be all pleasantly surprised. I'm still extremely optimistic, and I can't say I've always been that way.
Okay, I appreciate the sentiment. I think they will stay the course. I don't think there's much else they can do. They're not in the position even where they have veteran players that people are going to go, do you like to add that? Because they're a young team. They don't have a veteran player that someone like Eckstein and Roland were two seasons ago. Not even close.
Well, and they were young going into it, and everyone knew they were going to be young. And it wasn't like Alex Anthopoulos is a plan. I'm going to grab a lot of veterans in midseason, because that would make no sense whatsoever.
I mean, on May 10th last year, they were 19-15. They were four games back of Tampa. So it's about a 10-game swing in the reverse direction from last season.
No,
and many people thought they'd be worse than last year, so that's fine. But they're not going to be an 85-win team this year. I think we're all finally coming to terms with that. No, I don't think they are.
If we talk about disappointments, we should talk about a pleasant surprise. I think Jesse Litch coming back has been a fairly effective pitcher this year, and I think that's been a nice surprise for the Blue Jays.
It has. Alex Anthopoulos up in a little bit. Time right now to play the Money Game with Mike Eppel.
The Sportsnet Radio Fan 590 Money Game. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Acura presents how to get more standard features for fewer dollars. See our great low rates on a 2011 Acura. Visit your local Acura GTA dealers for details.
Phoenix Coyotes in the business news. Gee, that never happens. But
if the day of the week ends in a Y,
it usually works out that
Phoenix
way.
Is front and center. Isn't
six
it?
Of seven doctors agree. But it's the highest price ever for a liter, a valuable liter, more valuable than it was in the Mad Max days. For a liter of gasoline in the GTA this morning at almost $1.40 a liter.
$1.39 and change, eh? Yeah, the wholesale price for gas is skyrocketing in 24 hours by 25 cents per gallon. It's approaching its record high, even as the price for oil is just above $100 per barrel. I mean, that is historically high in and of itself, but nowhere near its record. But we're seeing the supply constraints come through the system with outages for refineries for Chevron and ExxonMobil and the big guys, and we haven't had a refinery built in North America since 1982. So, all this as we're approaching the driving season.
Well, speaking of which, Mike, I mean, how does the trickle-down effect from that affect the average Canadian family? People commuting in, mm-hmm. budget so much money for gas. If that's being eaten up by more prices, that's got to affect them other ways, does it not?
They're not going to spend as much on other consumer items, and other factors include the rising price of everything else because your transportation costs go up for trucking.
Food.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you've also got the likelihood that if jet fuel goes up as well, then you'll have more surcharges and the cost of flying will get that much more expensive.
Hmm. Now, what about this deal with Microsoft? How can a deal with Microsoft help Canadian pension plan?
Canada Pension Plan Investment Board is actually a minority shareholder in Skype, which Microsoft is buying today for $8.5 billion. Skype's got an interesting history. It was founded just in 2003, not that long ago, by Niklas Zennström and Jannis Friis, who I believe are also players in the Swedish Elite League.
Yeah.
Good one. Modo, right?
Yeah, Ricard Wallin centers their line. He leads by example, not execution.
Skype was bought out by eBay. I'm joking, by the way, just in case.
In case you want the Leafs to sign them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Again.
Scouted heavily. Bought out by eBay for about $2 billion in 2005. And then eBay unloaded it to this investment group, including the Canada Pension Plan, in 2009 for $2.7 billion. Skype being bought out today by Microsoft for $8.5 billion.
Good return in the investment.
Pretty much.
Good return.
You know, and yet and all, Skype is ostensibly a free service that makes its money by, if it makes any, by selling goods along with the phone calls that you make through the service.
And the free thing, we got to wrap up, but the free thing matters. Like, I don't know anybody that complains about Skype. Because almost anything that's free, it's like if you get a free T-shirt and it shrinks.
It's a little bit clunky.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's free.
But people get, I mean, for what you pay for, you get what you pay for society, people love this product almost more than any other.
It is a money loser, which is interesting, but it'll be integrated with all of the other Microsoft things because they're actually a little bit slow on the uptake on the internet side of their business. Biggest purchase in the history of Microsoft, which has really grown internally, notwithstanding this deal today of $8.5 billion.
More pop-up ads during your phone call. If your phone call could be interrupted by a 30-second ad, like when you want to watch a video on YouTube and then you got to sit through a 30-second video.
Don't give them any ideas.
No, it'd be great. It'd be great.
We'll have an ad for you.
As long as it stays free for us. No, we don't survive on ad revenue. That's good that we have nothing to gain from ads here at Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. We'll get more from Mike Eppels more at 6:30.
Thank you.
Fill your tank up. It's too late now, right? Just drive till it's empty.
No, it might be up again later.
Okay, good.
That's nice.
All right, good. Dan McTeague, where are you? Where is Dan McTeague? 836, Alex Anthopoulos is the Jays general manager, and he'll join us next.
Now, more of Toronto's best sports with Brady and Lang on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
8:43, Brady and Lang, Alex Anthopoulos, Blue Jays general manager, coming up in a little bit. Jeff Blair at 9 and Hockey Central with Darren Millard and Doug McClain today, recapping the Canucks series win and getting you set for San Jose in Detroit tonight at Joe Louis Arena as the Red Wings try and even the series improbably down by 3-0. It's time for Unplugged Lang.
Lang Unplugged.
What happened again?
On Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Story number one.
This is Sparta!
Now, I played that clip from the movie 300. I'm a little disappointed after you revealed to me that they use CGI to make his muscles look like more uber amazing.
Yeah, I told you that.
Yeah, I thought he had like really trained hard for the movie.
Well, I think he had, but it just adds a little definition to the abs. It's like in our television commercial.
Which is not bad. Now, the reason I play it is there's actually a thing out called The Spartan Race. It's written by Cynthia Vuketz, a staff reporter for the Toronto Star. And this girl from Quebec and her partner, Celica Sevigny and Richard Lee, took part in a thing called the Death Race in Vermont a few years ago and have brought this thing called the Spartan Race, which is like the Spartans in ancient Sparta and ancient Greece. And it's going to be taking place in Milton in June. And basically, it's a 5-kilometer obstacle course where you jump over a flaming pit. You have to stand in ice-cold water for 45 minutes. The shooting a target with a gun. You have to wrestle an Olympic champion. You don't know how big the person is until you basically come around the corner and you have to wrestle them. You have to crawl on your belly in mud under a mesh of barbed wire. Now, you're kind of a CrossFit champion, uber fit, extreme sports guy. Is this the kind of thing you would be part of?
I can't pull that off. Are you kidding? I can't run properly on pavement anymore. So there's that to consider.
But you could crawl in mud under barbed wire.
I'm not sure. My knees might get a little chafed. There'd be some chafing involved. I'd have to oil up.
Okay, as you approach
grease up.
Your 40th birthday, is there not a little bit of...
What, 6 years from now?
A little peak of interest saying, you know, I think I'd like to do this.
Yeah, I do need something to challenge myself before the big 40. 40.
This would be perfect. Your birthday's after this, right?
I think I'm going to do the slut walk instead.
The what?
You know, they've got these walks all over. In Toronto, they had them because that that idiot cop made the comment
about
how women shouldn't be dressed, and women are responding in kind, saying, this will teach you a lesson.
So
and
that's your midlife crisis, not to do this extreme sports thing, the Spartan race?
I'm committed to this look. That's all I can tell you.
That says a lot.
No, it doesn't. This is very little, actually. It's right
on
my lip.
It means you're lazy.
Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
I didn't say the sloth walk. The Toronto Blue Jays will host the Boston Red Sox tonight. It'll be Kyle Drabek on the hill against John Lester. Always fun when the Red Sox and Jays meet, and this is obviously the first of a few different visits from Boston this season. We're very pleased to have on the line right now the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. He is Alex Anthopoulos. Alex, thanks for doing this morning. How are you?
Nope, no problem. Guys. Glad to be on.
We're happy to have you. I went to the game last night. I went Friday when they batted around Phil Koch. Safe to say, though, a disappointing series all told. You can't take anything away from Justin Verlander on Saturday, but I'm sure you wanted compete level is not the right word, but just an execution level over the last two games with moving runners along, with guys getting out of innings. The team has struggled in this series.
No, there's no doubt about it. We had a great game on Friday night, and certainly the last three have been sloppy, you know, from all levels. You know, obviously we scored some runs late last night, but, you know, the game was well out of hand at that point. And, you know, it's obviously over the course of a season you're going to have games like that. It's tough certainly to watch, but then you also know at times it's going to turn and we'll also get hot and we'll get on a run. So hope it starts with this short two-gamer with the Red Sox.
Alex, you're competitive by nature. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the position you are. After 35 games, what has been most disappointing to you concerning the Blue Jays so far this year?
Well, I mean, I guess the one thing that probably jumps out, we haven't had a chance to run out the lineup that we hope to have day in and day out. So, you know, from a health standpoint, but again, every team goes through that, and, you know, that's part of the game. You know what's going to happen. We had a great run of health last year, and, you know, we realized that at the time. And the other thing is, you know, you never know. You're always hoping everybody can get off to a good start, but we have guys that have done some things in the past that are off to slow starts now, and you ultimately believe it's going to turn around for them because it always seems to. It's just sometimes it's tough to watch guys start slowly out of the gates and get going. So for the most part, I mean, we've had very competitive games, very exciting games. You know, you never like to see your team get blown out or certainly, you know, get beat the way we have the last 3 days. But, you know, I probably have more of a sense of it after 2 months because you have a better feel for truly what you have.
Alex Anthopoulos, our guest, Jays, hosting the Red Sox tonight at the Rogers Center in the first of two with Kyle Drabek on the hill against John Lester. You look at the scenario, and it was sort of a sidebar last night, but I'm sure you get active in this. And when I say active, I don't mean interfering, but if there's a discussion or a dispute between John Farrell and Brandon Morrow, there's a chain of command, and John is the manager, and Brandon's the player. But do you have a conversation with both guys, see where their heads are at, and see if anything does need to be sorted out, worked out? It doesn't sound like it does, but do you jump in and say, for my own curiosity and for my own education, I'd like to know what was said and where they're at?
Oh, if there's ever any scenario like that at all, certainly. There's no doubt about it. But there's no issue at all. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the players feel very strongly about John, and but Brandon is a competitor. He doesn't want to come out of the game, but Brandon is first class. He's as good a human being as you're going to find. He came out, and he certainly he looked at what he did was he looked at what the count was at the time, and obviously guys come out the same way after an at bat. They'll slam their helmet down and yell to themselves and talk to themselves. So. I know the TV cameras made it look like what it was, but it's not. And anyone that knows Brandon Morrow and obviously the writers and the media that are around him day in and day out, he's not that kind of guy that would ever show anybody up or anything like that at all.
Alex, what's your take on Aaron Hill? I mean, he set such a high standard for himself throughout the team and the league with some of his previous accomplishments. He's very popular with the fans and media, and I think he's frustrating a lot of people by his struggles. What is it about him he's not been able to get it back to where he was previously?
Oh, sure, and it's, you know, really Aaron Hill and Adam Lind are the two guys that, you know, obviously we all were curious how they were going to bounce back. We felt strongly and still do feel strongly that they will bounce back and have good seasons. Obviously, Adam, other than this lower back concern he's had here these last few days, got off to a, you know, bit of a slow start early and really turned it on that 10-day road trip, especially with that first series against the Rangers, and really found himself and seems to be back to the guy he was in 2009. Aaron got off to a bit of a slow start. First, he missed time in spring training, got back late, swung the bat the last week or so. Then he seemed like he finally started to get going for us when we were on an earlier road trip playing Boston. and then he hurt his hamstring stealing a base, and then obviously that set him back, and now he's back. So Aaron just hasn't had a chance to get on the field for an extended period. So I think it's still a little bit early, the same way Adam started out a little bit slow and finally caught fire. I'm certainly hopeful Aaron's going to do the same thing after an extended period of play.
I was somewhat shocked, and I couldn't have been the only one that you re-signed Edwin Encarnacion. Not saying good, not saying bad. I was just surprised by it. Are we there as well where it's a small sample size? He's only had 100 at-bats. But I'm thinking in the offseason, okay, if he can hit 20 home runs and he can slug around 480, you can deal with some of the defensive miscues and the other issues. But is this working out the way it can't be working out the way you'd initially planned? He needs to have a positive turn of direction as well this season, doesn't he?
There's no doubt. I think we were talking about it last night. If you had told us, you know, on the 10th of May that Aaron Hill and Edwin Encarnacion combined would have, you know, zero home runs, we would have been shocked. So, mm-hmm. You know, you realize guys will start out slow with batting averages and things like that. But, you know, from a power standpoint, those are certainly guys that, you know, we'd expect to have a few home runs. And even a guy like Encarnacion, the one thing that he has always done is hit for power.
Sure.
He is a streaky hitter. I mean, that's something that we've certainly seen. But there's no doubt right now he's in a bit of a funk. I think he's on pace to hit close to 45 doubles or so, which normally those should turn into home runs. But there's no question at this stage we would have expected a lot more power from him. I know he can still turn it on. He had 20 home runs and 300 at bats last year, mm-hmm. and he seemed to finally get healthy this year. So it is a small sample size, but certainly I would have hoped for more at this stage. But I still think there's a lot of time for him to get hot and put some home runs on the board for us.
Alex, because both players have such big upside and the potential to be such key components to your team, what is the timetable that we might see Brett Cecil or Travis Snyder back with the big club?
You know, I really don't know at this stage. Obviously, we'd love to have him back sooner rather than later. You know, those are guys that we count on being part of this core and long-term players. And certainly Brett, someone that led our team in wins last year, we would not have expected him to be in the minor leagues at this stage. And he had two encouraging starts, and he's going to start again, I believe, on Wednesday, so we're going to continue to monitor that. But again, we want to see him string together some starts and know that the stuff is there and the command is there. And you know, that's the tough part sometimes in the minor leagues. You look at box scores, and you might see 4-for-4 or, you know, 6 innings, 2 runs, but maybe there was some hard-hit balls for the guy on the mound where, you know, there was some line drive outs and it's not what you wanted to see, or the guy ran deep counts. Or for a position player, maybe it was soft bloop hits and they weren't really squaring balls up. So we really rely on our staff down there to tell us how these guys look. But as soon as we feel like they're back to where they need to be, we'll definitely get them back up here because they're very important.
But before you go, I remember asking a question while you're in Dunedin, and we were doing a phone interview about the Rays, and we agreed in the sense that you said you had people coming up to you, same thing of any of us, say, oh boy, will they take a step back this year? No Carl Crawford, the bullpen's been decimated, and they just don't. It's got to be frustrating, yet at the same time, this is the gold standard that they've set over the last few seasons that I know you're working hard to match in terms of organizational depth and the key signings that keep them always a competitor.
No, there's no doubt, and I think even at that time, I felt strong that they were still going to be a good team because the one thing they had a very deep rotation, and you felt like they were going to pitch. They're a very good defensive team, and though they don't have a lot of power, they all play defense. They can all run the bases, and they can play the low scoring games because they have 5 starters that have the ability to go deep in a game. And mm-hmm. the question was going to be their bullpen, and so far it's off to a good start, but again, those things can change fast. That's probably the one area that they would probably tell you that's, you know, the one they might be concerned about for the long term. But I think they're the best management team in the game. They do a wonderful job. And certainly if we can come close to matching their success or their model, we'd love to do so.
It's a hell of a fun division. It's Boston-Toronto tonight. Alex, thanks very much for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Really enjoyed it.
There's Alex Anthopoulos joining us. 3 Tampa Rays on pace for over 100 RBI this year, including Johnny Damon, B.J. Upton, and Ben Zobrist. Jeff Blair joins us now from the Jeff Blair Show. He was in attendance as well. I think, Jeff, you and I pushed it to the 5-digit mark attendance-wise. I was very happy about that. They don't count you, though. They counted me because I was sitting there like a yub in the stands, but they did not count you sitting in your...
That was a legitimate 11 grand.
As you noted on Twitter, you don't lie about 11 grand.
No, you don't.
You turn 11 grand into 15.8 if you can at all.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You know, give me a break. Yeah, we're going to lie about 11,000 people. Anyhow, yeah, not a great day for Twitter, obviously. I see Barney, Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble's player agent apparently came out of the cave yesterday, right? Rolled the rock away from the cave and grabbed a chisel and started chiseling his thoughts onto a piece of
I thought he was against men coming out of the cave.
Oh, very good.
Nice. Very nice.
I have no idea. You gonna touch on that out of the game?
Maybe just a little bit. Yeah, I think so. Right. It was funny because I had somebody said to me on Twitter, gee, I'm kind of surprised because I thought, I thought hockey players were sort of open. And maybe that's just me guilty of being a Canadian.
Oh,
I sent him a Twitter and said, you ever met a junior hockey player? Like, these guys are walking, talking penises, you know? You know what I mean?
Well,
like, they're raging hormones.
I know. So. We were thinking about that as an alternate name for the show, but since you mentioned it.
Yeah, it's been taken.
The walking, talking. But I agree. It's an awfully homophobic culture, and I don't know the steps. I know the steps I'd love to see taken to change it, Jeff, but it'll be interesting to hear you and others address it. So there's that.
We're trying to find somebody to address it. Not surprisingly, a lot of the hockey people have...
Hiding in holes.
Are turtling.
They're hiding in holes. So Jeff Blair Show coming up next at 9 o'clock. Well, we thank our guests, Paul Tracy, Alex Anthopoulos, and Eric Francis for being on the show. We'll see you tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy the Sharks and the Wings or the Red Sox and the Jays. We'll be back to recap it all tomorrow morning.